May the dear Holy Spirit join with us as we attempt to worship the Lord this morning, even though it is now online. Our first hymn is number 36. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Sons of Zion, too, arise, join the triumph of the skies, and with angels loud proclaim, Christ was born in Bethlehem. Hymn number 36. From God's holy word, our reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and reading the first 40 verses. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and now help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we do need thee now to breathe into our hearts a breath of real prayer. Oh, we pray that we may be like John of old and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that we may be granted the gracious help and aid of thy Holy Spirit, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. Lord, thou knowest the solemn circumstances that we are found in this nation. Lord, we pray, thou wilt come over it all, and bless thy dear people. May thy word that is preached or read through whatever means the dear souls of thy people might hear it, be blessed abundantly to each one. For, O Lord, we do thank thee that thy word is not bound. Oh, may it have even this day free course, that it may be glorified and thy precious name honoured and glorified. Oh, how we need thee to soften our hearts, Lord. Grant to us that grace to be submissive to thy mind and will in all these solemn things, and that we may be humbled in the dust and ever be as nothing, that our precious Jesus may be the one thing that is needful. Oh, do bless that sacred portion that we have read together. And we pray, dear Lord, though it is well known to so many, that there may be the realities of it wrought in our hearts, that we may have that real religion that thou didst give to dear Mary, to Simeon, and to Anna, Lord, and that we may be amongst those that are truly taught of God, that are born of the Holy Spirit. We pray that thy quickening spirit may go forth in the midst of all this plague, that there may be yet those brought to think and tremble, for death is now upon the road. And, O Lord, do help us to look to thee in it all. For thou hast said in thy word, when ye see these things come to pass, look up. And we do pray, dear Lord, to have that eye of faith to ever look to the dear Lord Jesus. And that we may be like the apostle when he said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Oh, that thou wouldst grant us, Lord, that singleness of eye, and that we might look right on and our eyelids straight before us. Oh, do blot out the many sins of our hearts, the sins of our lives, our words, our thoughts, our actions. Oh, that we might be given that real heart repentance, true God desire, humbled in the dust, begging and pleading like the publican for mercy, and pleading to be washed and cleansed from all sin. We would come with the dear hymn writer when he said, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And how we need that washing, dear Lord, and cleansing in our poor hearts. Oh, do assure us that thou didst shed thy precious blood for us, that thou hast redeemed us, that we are thine. And oh, we pray that thy precious blood may be applied to us, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. Oh, may each sin-sick sinner be favoured to have their pardon signed and their peace procured. Lord, we pray for thy dear people as they gather today throughout Zion, whether in their homes or in thy house, Lord. Knowest, Lord, we pray that we may hear thy voice, that thou wilt suit thy word to every sinner's case, and that there may be yet seen the wonders God alone can do. who bless each of the dear friends at Swaves. We mourn and weep that we cannot come, Lord, and be among them. But, O Lord, thou knowest. And we pray that we may be helped to pray them each along, Lord, and to commit them into thy blessed hands. And that those that are cast down may be lifted up. For, Lord, who can lift us up but thou? And I, so many things there are to weigh thy people down. But, O Lord, thou alone canst appear for them and command deliverance. To be with those that have many burdens and many trials to walk through. To help them, Lord, to cast all their cares upon thee, all their burdens, to leave them at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way unto the end. And Lord, those that are walking in affliction's pathway, we pray that thou wilt remember them. We think of many of our dear friends laid aside, those around us down here, Lord, those are up further in the country. We pray for that needed healing and restoring. We thank thee for bringing our dear daughter safely through her operation and others, Lord, that have been through surgery. We pray that thou wilt own and bless the means and that thou wilt grant, Lord, that needed healing and restoring. May there be those that are healed in their souls from the festering sores of sin. For thou hast said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And O Lord, do sanctify all these things. May we not just come through them, but may our souls be profited in them. They may all be for the establishing of thy people. And there may be those rooted and grounded in the truth. Do bless the dear children, dear Lord. Who knowest those that in their early days that do seek thee. May each one be real seekers, asking their way to Zion with their faces thitherward. Who hear the prayers of the dear parents for their offspring. Oh, do raise up a seed to serve them, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And oh, do bless the labours at the Sabbath school, Lord, in Swavesey and in our own flock too. And may the dear teachers have those sweet encouragements from time to time, that they labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. And, O Lord, we pray for the dear young people, that thou wilt preserve and keep them, watch over them. And those that are away, and those that are studying, Lord, do be with them and help them in all their ways to commit their way to thee. And may they look on while thou dost work wondrously. And, O Lord, do provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives, suitable employment in these dark and solemn days. We pray that thou wilt remember those that may have impossible things. Lord, many have many impossibilities, but Lord, they're not impossible with thee. For thou hast said, the thing that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. And Lord, we pray for that help to cast all our cares upon thee, and to leave them at thy dear feet. For thou hast promised to manage all by the way unto the end. We pray that thou remember our dear aged friends. Many feel, Lord, though much mud wall cottage shake. We pray that thou would sweetly assure them, those in Bethesda, those in their homes, those, Lord, are able to gather in Zion, to visit them wherever they be. And, O Lord, do prepare us each for that great day of death, a vast eternity. O Lord, how our lives are fast ebbing away, and how we need thee to prepare us for that great day, that it may be well with us. Oh, do grant that sweet assurance that the eternal God is our refuge, and that underneath of the everlasting arms. And, O Lord, do bless the church at Swavesey. We pray for thee to yet increase them more and more. We plead that precious word, Lord. The Lord shall increase you more and more, both you and your children. Oh, may it be so in the families, Lord, and in our own. We thank thee for all thou hast done. And we would be truly thankful for present and yet ask for more. Oh, that there may be those constrained to follow thee and to be as obedient children. Remember, Lord, Zion at large, we pray that thou wilt open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And, oh, that thou wouldst grant to thy servants that gracious anointing of thy Holy Spirit, that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable to the brethren, and the word of God through them be life and power to thy dear people. Oh, do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. And, O Lord, in the midst of all the darkness that surrounds us, we do pray that thou wilt shine forth, and that thou wilt shine into each of our hearts and warm us with that heavenly heat. Thou wilt shine upon the churches, that there may be yet those gracious increases that we long to see. And, Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear in this guilty nation. And, oh, do grant, Lord, that there may be in our leaders that concern in their hearts to acknowledge that these things are all because of the sins of our nation, and we're all, Lord, contributors to it. We pray that thou would appear and stem the tide of the plague if it's thy will. And, oh, may the blind eyes of our leaders be open, that they may acknowledge that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and thou hast caused it to come, Lord. Oh, we pray for thy appearing, that there may be yet many brought to turn to thee and beg of thee for mercy. Do bless our Queen and the royal household. May they be truly taught of thee. And, oh, may we see in this land once more godliness ruling and reigning. Many fear thy holy name. Lord, do appear. We need thee so much. And remember all that are persecuted and oppressed. Do undertake, Lord, for each one. And do help us, dear Lord, to praise thee for all thy great mercies that are countless as the sand that daily we receive. We would give thee all the praise, all the glory, and crown thee, Lord of all. Do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name, May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Do help thy dear servant with our own flock, and may it be a day of real blessing to them. Now do help us, Lord. Pardon what we've uttered amiss. Blot out our many sins and make up where we so fail. We beg it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 39. Come, ye redeemed of the Lord, your grateful tribute bring, and celebrate with one accord the birthday of our King. Hymn number 39.
seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's epistle to the Colossians and chapter 1 and verse 19. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is the Lord Jesus himself, should all fullness dwell. These words, beloved friends, have been upon my spirit for a few days, and I trust they are the message that the Lord would have me bring before you this morning. And the dear apostle himself knew what it was to draw from that blessed fullness. And the wonderful mercy is that fullness that there is in the dear Lord Jesus will never run dry. All earthly things dry up after time, but this fullness ever abides, the hymn writer said, to answer the needs of his dear people. Now, the first thing we want to, as help, look at is this. Who is it that needs this fullness that there is in the dear Lord Jesus? It's those that are taught by the Holy Spirit their emptiness. It's not a palatable place for the flesh to be in. To be empty. But that is where the Lord will bring every one of his dear people, that they may draw all that they need from this blessed fullness that there is in the dear Lord Jesus. Let us firstly look then at this emptiness, that we may know what it is to value the blessed fullness there is in the dear Lord Jesus. We read concerning the dear woman, the widow woman, in the days of Elisha, where she had the creditors come to take away her son. And she was in dire need of the Lord's appearing. And how wonderfully the Lord was to appear for her. And we read in that second chapter of the second epistle of the second book, rather, of the Kings, of this dear woman. And she went to the man of God and said to him what her need was. And what did Elisha say to her? What shall I do for thee? Tell me. And he puts to her this important question. What hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, go buy the vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, but they must be of one sort, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And you look how wonderfully the Lord appeared for her. and all those vessels were to be filled with the oil. And then the oil stayed. And that's exactly how the Lord will be with each one of his dear people. He will empty them that he might fill them. We need, don't we, so much to be emptied of self, emptied of this world, emptied of all carnal religion, emptied of all our own works, and look to him and to that blessed fullness that there is in the dear Lord Jesus that ever abides to answer our need. And oh, how the dear Lord appeared for that dear widow woman and supplied her every need. And then we think too of the occasion with the dear disciples when there were those multitude that came, and it was the evening hour, and they wanted to send them away, that 5,000 men there were. And the Lord Jesus would not send them away empty, would he? He was to wonderfully supply their need. Now, with the dear disciples, he put to them that question, how many loaves have you? And they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they said, and so often we look at it as ourselves, and we would say with the dear disciples, how shall we feed such a great multitude? But he was to instruct them exactly what they should do. And look at the wonderful fullness that he provided for them. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in company. And they did so, and made them sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And then you see how wonderfully the Saviour was to work. There may be those of you today in some particular need, but where are we looking? We find here, looking up to heaven, the dear Saviour, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And they took up the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets full. You see how in him there was that wonderful fullness to supply the need of those 5,000. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you may have this morning those great needs in your heart, or maybe in your pathway and in your soul and in the family, maybe in the business. But where are we looking? As I mentioned in prayer, and it's been a sweet word to me this week. And one of my old deacons, when I first came to the Dicker, he often used to pray in the prayer meetings, Lord, do give us grace to look up. And it says, doesn't it, what when you see these things, as I mentioned in prayer, like the solemn things we're in this nation, the solemn places we come into in our souls, or in the pathway, or in the family, or in the church of God, when you see these things, Jesus said, look up. And oh, that we may be given that singleness of eye to look to the dear Lord Jesus. You see, that dear widow woman that I've named, the only place she could look was heavenward, and how the Lord poured that oil forth and supplied her every need. Look at the case we just mentioned of the multitude. The disciples wanted to send them away. But oh, look how Jesus wonderfully filled them. They were empty, they were hungry, they were poor. But he supplied their every need. We sing in the hymn now, it's a beautiful verse really. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now I want to look at a few things that we will prove there is a blessed fullness in the dear Lord Jesus. There's precious words of speaking of that fullness that there is in him. And we think of what he said to the the apostle said to the church in Ephesus, speaking of the dear Lord Jesus, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we find in the chapter following our text those words too of that blessed fullness. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. So, and then in John's Gospel, if I remember rightly, in that first chapter, he speaks, dear John does, of the fullness, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now let's look at a few things concerning this fullness. You may feel this morning so poor, so empty, and oh, may you draw, and may we at this sacred season of the year, from this blessed fullness. Think of the, first of all, the fullness of his grace. We often feel so graceless, don't we, when we know our own heart. But poor soul, there's a wonderful fullness of grace in the dear Lord Jesus. You think of the dear Apostle Paul, when he was given that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan to buffet him. And oh, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians and spoke of it, and how the dear apostle begged of the Lord that he would take away that thorn. And some of you may have got some thorn today as you enter into this closing seasons of this year, and you think of the thorns that you've had to endure, the sufferings, the many burdens, the many things that weighed you down. But has not the Lord enabled you to look to him for grace to bear them? Now, how could the dear apostle endure this thorn? He asked the Lord to take it away, but you see, the Lord, in his great mercy, knew that the apostle needed it. And we do need these thorns from time to time. What to do? Firstly, to keep us down, to keep us dependent upon the Lord, to keep us looking to him, to give us that grace to bear it. And what did the Lord say to him? And he said unto me, the apostle said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, there's no lacking in the grace that flows through the dear Redeemer. That from that wonderful fullness. And the dear apostle was to prove it. He says, the Lord said to him, my grace, that grace that the Lord was to give him, is sufficient for thee. There would be no lacking in that grace. It was sufficient for thee. And oh, how humbling that is when the Lord grants to us a little grace to endure the thorns, to endure the trials, to endure the temptations. And then he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And well could the apostle go on to say, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And oh, the need of grace to be submissive. You know, there's such a fullness in the grace of God there is. In thinking upon this text, it seemed to so rest upon me the fullness of his grace, how he gives that grace to be submissive. And you know, it shone, didn't it, in the dear Lord Jesus. You think in the persecution he endured, the grace he was given to answer his enemies, the grace he was given to bear the wrath of a holy God and to bear the anguish and distress of soul. He says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And how submissive the Saviour was to endure the cross, to despise the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Grace shone in the dear Redeemer. And it may be in some particular matter you're in today, in your soul, in the pathway, or some burden you're carrying. Oh, the grace to bear it. And poor soul, may this text be of sweet encouragement, that it please the Father. It was the Father's divine pleasure that in Christ should all fullness dwell. And poor soul, you can draw from that fullness. And knowing this, it will never run dry. And oh, the grace we need to cease from sinning. And the grace we need to turn away from sin and turn away from those things that are grieving to the Lord. And the grace we need to fall under his correcting hand. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And may, as we venture on, and we know not what the new year, if we're spared to see it, will bring, but may the Lord grant to us that grace to be patiently waiting for his appearing. Oh, the need of this fullness of grace that there's found in the dear Redeemer. And then too, the grace we need to confess our many, many sins. He said, didn't he, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And oh, what a wonderful fullness there is in the dear Lord Jesus to give that grace, to humbly repent, to truly weep over our sin, to truly confess them before the Lord and beg and plead for mercy. When you look at those two that went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican, we don't see any grace manifested in the Pharisee. He was full of himself, full of his own prayers, and even thank God that he was not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He was despising even the child of God. But oh, look at the dear publican. Grace shone in him, in real confession. You see, those heart sins, he smote upon his breast. That's where the burden lies. That's where he felt the grief within him. Smote upon his breast, crying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Grace, you know, enabled him to plead for mercy. Oh, it did. And may the Lord grant to us each more and more grace to confess our many sins, our many failings, our many faults, and to truly weep and mourn over them before the God of heaven. And then grace to plead for his mercy. Oh, what a wonderful thing is there is a fullness. And that leads me to the next point, really. The fullness of the mercy that's found in the Lord Jesus. You read that beautiful 136th Psalm, where it closes each verse with his mercy endureth forever. And what a sacred thing that is to a poor, needy, helpless sinner. You say the mercy of God will never run dry. There's such a fullness in his mercy. And when he has mercy upon us, oh, how humbling it is to the poor sinner's heart. You think of those blind men. It struck me recently in trying to preach, those dear blind men and the dear woman that came saying, Lord, help me. You know, those blind men and that dear woman, how did they come to the dear Redeemer? They were in need, they were poor, they were helpless, they were blind, and the dear woman was so plagued by the trouble of her daughter, Satan out to destroy her. But what ground did they come on to the Lord Jesus? They came on the grounds of the fullness there was in him, the fullness of mercy. They all came, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And oh, that we may be given that grace to plead for mercy. I love that couplet of the hymn, I often quote it, but mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness. But then, those that came, so come seeking mercy, come seeking for pardon, don't they? And come seeking for his precious blood to be applied to them. to your poor soul, to mine. And what a fullness of pardon there is in the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, he pardons the iniquities of his dear people, blots out their transgressions. And you know, when the Lord speaks those precious promises on pardon and peace to his dear children, what a fullness there is in those blessed promises that he has spoken. Let me just name one or two. We think of that beautiful word, and I may have told you before, but the Lord spoke it to my late dear grandfather, and the Lord so blessed him that night with these words: "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And you know, if the Lord speaks to you that precious word, oh, as he knew that night what it was for all the sins that so plagued him over his life were all gone. And, oh, the sweet pardon he felt in his poor heart, full of the love of Christ. All he wanted to do was to lay down his life and die and be with the dear Lord Jesus forever, that he might not sin anymore. The hymn writer said, it's a beautiful word, dear Joseph Hart knew it by divine experience, when his pardon is signed and his peace is procured, from that moment his conflict begins. You see, Satan was out to attack. But our poor soul, you think of it in your poor soul this morning. Those of you way down, you feel so poor, so helpless, such a wretched, vile sinner. You know, Christ came into this world to save sinners. Oh, he did. The blackest, the vilest. We sing in the hymn, don't we? The vilest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, the great need of that fullness of pardon to be granted to each of our souls. Not just to remove one sin, but to remove all sin. What do we read? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And poor soul this morning, may the Lord sweetly assure you that he's put all those sins that trouble you away at Calvary, when he shed that precious blood. And what a fullness there is in that precious blood, isn't it? It cleanseth from all sin. It's something you can face the devil with. You can face the enemy when he tries to come in. But the Lord said, for all sin. And oh, that we might know that sweet pardon in our poor hearts. It pleased the Father that in him, in that precious blood, in that glorious offering and sacrifice that he gave his own heart's blood, he laid down his precious life that sinners might be saved with an eternal salvation. And then we think of that precious word, you know, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions from before thee. Oh, you try and measure, it's impossible, but you try and measure, the carnal reasoning may try it, as far as the east is from the west, it's impossible to remove, to measure it. as far as the east is from the west. That's how far the Lord has removed the transgressions of his people from before them. Oh, may the Lord seal that home to some poor sin-sick sinner today. And then he did promise, didn't he, that all the sins of his dear people would be cast into the depths of the sea. I shall never forget dear Mr. Caudle saying, he said, and preaching on that sacred subject, he said, friends, the devil with all the longest fish hook he might find will never get those sins up. They're put away forever. And, oh, what a comfort that is, you see, the fullness of this pardon. Oh, what a wonderful token to a poor, dejected sinner that there is this fullness of pardon in the dear Redeemer, which only he can give. It pleased the Father. It's the Father's divine pleasure that in him should all fullness dwell. But then, think of the wonderful fullness of light. You know, the sun has come out now in Sussex and the clouds have dispersed for a season. And wonderful thing light is. And you think in creation, where the Lord gave light. Everything was darkness, wasn't it, in creation? We read that beautiful word. It's a lovely word, really, in that wonderful account in Genesis of creation. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, in him, there's the fullness of light. He can turn those dark hours that you may be in your soul or in the pathway into light in a moment. Like when we arose this morning, it was real darkness. The days are short now at this season of the year. Darkness soon comes upon the earth at this season. But you see, what a difference when the Lord gives light. And you think of what we read concerning dear Simeon, a light to lighten the Gentiles and thy people Israel. And you see, when the dear Lord Jesus came, what a light there was. You think of those wonderful characters in that chapter we read together. I was very troubled what we should read, but that seemed to so rest upon me this morning. You think of the light the Lord gave to Mary. She couldn't understand how she could ever bring forth the Son of God. But look how wonderfully the Lord gave her that light, with the angel declaring from heaven exactly how she should bring forth the precious Son of God. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And oh, poor soul, she was to prove the wonderful fullness there was in what the angel said to her. And he gave her light, didn't he? You see, when Simeon said those beautiful words, a light to lighten the Gentiles, you can look at that in two ways, really. Firstly, when the Lord gives light to those that are in darkness, you know, we're told in the Word of God, aren't we, the days of darkness are many. And for the child of God, for the most part, they are many. Days of darkness. walking in that. And why is there darkness? Because of sin, because of unbelief, because of the trials you may be walking in, because of the afflictions upon you, and the way seems so dark. But poor soul, let me just set before you this. There's a blessed light in the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. You think of the light the Lord showed from heavenward to those shepherds, and the precious words that he spoke to them through the angel of heaven. It was to give light to them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Oh, it did. Now they had light. And if we're given light, there's liberty. It may be in your darkness you're in now, you cannot see your way, everything is dark, but when the Lord comes, as like the hymn writer said, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. And oh, when God gives that light, oh, the liberty we feel. You see, there's those two blessed things, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. The Lord Jesus came to give light to his dear children. And you can look at that in several ways. When the Lord shines within and shows us what we are by nature and our old sinful heart, we need light to see it. And as the Holy Spirit shines forth, the fullness there is in his light. But you see, he can turn that darkness into light in a moment. And then he gives light to look heavenward to the dear Redeemer. You look to yourself and there's all darkness, isn't it? You look to man and all there is darkness. You look at the solemn season we're in, the darkness upon this nation. But oh, the Lord in a moment can give light. And you think how he gave it to the shepherds, he gave it to dear Mary. And then you think of the light that he gave to Simeon. Oh, that dear man, you know, he could well lay down and die, couldn't he? And oh, how the Lord wonderfully gave it to Anna too. And that's what so rested upon me concerning that chapter, you know. They all saw that glorious light there was in the dear Redeemer. Out of all the darkness of the years of bondage under the law, now there was light. Now there was liberty. He was born, as we sing in the hymn, to set his people free. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And oh, the fullness of that light. You know, really, it's wonderful when the sun comes out and the clouds are dispersed and the light there is so different than when the sky is full of clouds, isn't it? And it's all in the hands of the Lord. And so it is in the experiences of his dear people. There may be those of you at Swavesey today walking in darksome paths and the way seems mysterious. But poor soul, in a precious Jesus, there's glorious light for poor dejected sinners when maybe plagued with Satan's bitter temptations, and the Lord comes and he gives you light and he sets you free from all the bondage that sin has brought, all the bondage Satan has brought. You think of dear Peter, if I may just name it before we leave it this morning, when he was in the prison, when that angel came in Acts chapter 12 and the angel of heaven came down and said to Peter, gird thyself, put on thy sandals and follow me. And those chains drop from him. Oh, it seemed such a dark place in that prison, didn't it? Not only because it was night, but the dark place he was in, shut away there, under the sentence of death. But oh, when the Lord came, sent his angel, gird thyself, put on thy sandals, and come and follow me, and the chains just dropped from him. And oh, how the Lord wonderfully brought him out. They went through one ward and another, and the gate to the city opened of its own accord. Such was the liberty the Lord was to give him. We read, don't we, the Saviour said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. Oh, the way to liberty is found. The Son shall make you free. For it pleased the Father, the Father's good pleasure, that in him, a precious Jesus, and what a fullness there is in that preciousness, but I must leave it at the time, should all fullness, and it's something you can face Satan with, and say to him, ah, but the Lord has said, that in him, this rich fullness dwells and is freely given. Well, may the Lord come over the poverty of my poor, feeble attempts, forgive anything amiss, and bless his own word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Field will preach to us again this afternoon at 2:30 and again on the internet as this morning. There will be no Sunday school today, but we hope to hold a prayer meeting at chapel at 6:30 this evening. God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach to us on Wednesday evening at 7:00. We hope to hold a Christmas morning service at 9:30, and Mr. Adrian Pickett will, God willing, speak to us. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach at chapel at 10:30 and 6:30 as usual, and our Christmas Sunday school will be held on Zoom at 2:30. Our closing hymn is number 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. Hymn 557.
Oh,
Dear Lord, we do pray thou wilt forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. Oh, do apply it to our hearts, we beseech thee. Do be with us now in the interval. Come up with us this afternoon if it would please thee. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.